today as we come to the table.
If you want the power of the Holy Spirit in and upon your life, there's only one way to get it, and that's through Jesus. But again, you have to ask. Lord, fill me. Come upon me. I've washed. I've spent time at the laver, so to speak, time in the Word, time in prayer. I'm washed. I'm ready. I'm ready to be called on by my high priest when he calls on me now, spiritually. But God, I need power. How can I do this without power? Give me your power. What Paul is saying here to Titus is God has given that power. He's done it through the cross. Now he's given the power. We just simply have to ask. He will pour that on us in abundance through Jesus Christ.
What is power? Many people equate power to success. Many equate power to having a thick skin. If you turn to world politics, many equate power to the strength of their dollar and how many soldiers they've readily trained and available. However, the Holy Spirit can give you true power, the ability to overcome sin. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will teach you that the power of the Holy Spirit can be yours simply by inviting Him into your heart and asking for that power. Jesus died so that you could live. So rely on the chain-breaking power of the Holy Spirit to keep you from the death of sin and in the light of God. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Titus, chapter 3, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
All right, open your Bibles up to Titus chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 4 through 15, and we're going to break this up really into three different segments. And that is, first of all, really just the hope that we have in Jesus, and I guess the main overall picture is the hope we have in Jesus, and then Paul's final farewell. But it's going to be broken up in three different segments. Not only the hope we have in Jesus and the gospel that he's done, but the good works that Jesus did through that, what he did for us on the cross. Then secondly, the fact that we're supposed to be doing good works because Jesus did good works. And then lastly, don't get caught up in all the tiny details and the things that sidetrack people, that get us off course. We need to stay focused more than ever in the days in which we live, focused on Jesus and what God has called us to do. So his good works, our good works, and not getting sidetracked would be a great way if you want to break this up. And again, the last time we got into Titus, we looked at how a Christian was to conduct themselves in a godly manner. Today, we'll look at, again, the hope in Jesus, which really the world needs hope tremendously right now. Maybe you as a believer, you have hope, but maybe you're not receiving that hope. So receive that hope. And the world definitely needs that hope. And again, as we said, Paul's final farewell as we finish out the book. And again, when you think about hope and look at hope, it is so important in our lives that typically when people lose hope, they lose the will to live. And that's why I think this is a very timely message as we finish Titus today, because we need to recognize that although these are desperate times, the Lord's not desperate. The Lord has great hope. He is hope. And because of him, we have that hope in him. That is why you see when people lose hope, oftentimes there are many suicides. People's lives go into a tailspin when that happens. So we need to be reminded of the hope we have in the Lord. And so I'm thankful for where we are in this particular passage. And I see God's timing in this. You see, we as Christians, regardless of how bad things seem to be at different times, always have hope in Jesus Christ, but it's not just our hope. We're to carry that hope into the world. You know, the people around us need hope. Listen, have you noticed anybody in your neighborhood but have you seen panic? There's panic. There's fear. What's going to happen to me, to my family? We need to reassure them. And we have to have that reassurance first. You know, before we can reassure others, there has to be peace in our eyes. If I come to you and say, guys, look, rest in the Lord. Have hope in the Lord. It's going to be okay. And if I look panicked, how much hope is that going to give you? Not a lot. Well, then how do I get that? I get it by the Spirit of God. Remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I go to the Lord. God, give me that spirit. Fill me with that spirit. Let me rest in you. And then we give that to other people. The believer should never lose hope. We always have hope, and we need to spread that hope to other people. regardless of what's happening in the world, regardless of it seems as though things may be collapsing or whatever. Again, for us, it only gets better the closer we get to the Lord's return. So everything for the believer is up from here. And we need to be able to pass that message on to others. As one person said, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. So we should have great hope that Jesus is still in control, that Jesus is still on the throne. And again, I believe we're just heading into this final last days process, as Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24, verse 8, the beginning of sorrows. I think we've entered into that. And yet it's the beginning of sorrows for the world. Maybe some limited sorrow for us as we watch what's happening to the world, but the hope that we have, we're encouraged and we spread that hope to others. And so I want to jump right into it. We have a lot to cover today. I want to make sure that we do finish the book of Titus. Now, where we left off last time, if you remember the first part of chapter 3, Paul was reminding Titus to tell the body there in Crete, which is where Titus was the pastor, to make sure they're being subject to the authorities, coming under authority, doing what the authorities have asked them to do, and to recognize that the people around us, if they're conducting themselves in foolishness and disobedience, we used to be there as well. So we're not to be judging the world around us that's reacting in foolishness. We're not even to be judging the world because of any fear or panic they have. We're to have compassion and to realize that without the Lord, we were the same way. But now we have hope. And so Paul says, because of that hope, we need to spread that hope. And now we're going to see what that hope is. And number one today, that hope is in Jesus. Look what it says in verse 4. He says, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So Paul reminds us that we saw and experienced the love and mercy of God when through his grace and not by anything we had done, notice this, he washed us. See, this could be an interesting contrast. Paul makes the point that it's not by works that we're saved, but he's going to point out that it's by Jesus's works that we're saved. And because Jesus did good works, now we're to do good works so that we can encourage others and lead them to Christ and give that example of God. And again, as we said, not be sidetracked. So he washed us with his blood, Paul says here. He forgave us, but then he renewed us with the Holy Spirit unto forgiveness and eternal life. So that's the hope we have. Again, I want to just reiterate this. No matter how bad it gets down here, it only goes up for the believer. It's only up. That's it. That's your investment in the kingdom and your hope in God is only up from here. There is no decline in that. The word washing here, when he talks about the fact that we have been washed, that the Lord has washed us and regenerated us, it's an interesting word. It speaks here of the water laver or container that was outside of the temple building with multiple spouts. And again, the priest would go wash their hands in it. So here's what you would have. You'd have the priest going to do their service at the temple. And outside of the temple, you'd have, of course, the altar and where you'd sacrifice the animals. And then you'd have this big container that had spouts all around it. And the priest would come to it. They would sit down in front of it, and they'd have different spouts on different sides. You'd sit down. You'd turn the spout on. It filled with water. They kept it regularly filled with water. You'd wash your hands in a ceremonial way. You'd wash your feet in a ceremonial way before you'd entered into the temple to worship the Lord. And again, the picture here is evident. The idea is that you were to have clean hands, a clean walk, and a clean, heart before God before you would go and try to serve the Lord and minister in his temple. So a beautiful picture there that they really literally did in a very physical way before you entered the temple. And Paul uses it here to show how symbolically the Lord has done that for us. He's washed our hands by his sacrifice, by his word. He's washed our feet. He's washed our heart and our mind. He's cleansed us. And we are now to be spiritually washed and cleansed of our sins by Jesus through the cross, through his blood, and renewed by him spiritually to be prepared for service. And so we need to be repentant and cleansed again before entering the temple of God. Again, this is a great picture, not just of what the priest did then, but the spiritual analogy to us is obvious, and that is this. We need to be washed every day before we serve the Lord. We need to be cleansed. We need to be purified. You as a priest of God are serving Knoxville and you're serving the people around you. You're serving the people in your neighborhood. We talked about good works. And again, we're going to see where Paul's going to say later, be sure to maintain good works. Keep doing good works. Well, there are ways you can do good works right now. You may have a neighbor that's older that doesn't feel safe going to the grocery store. You can go to the grocery store for them. and drop off their groceries. You may have a neighbor that can't get out and mow their grass right now because either they're sick or because they can't, they don't want to get outside or do whatever. You can go mow their grass. There's a lot of things we can do to serve and to be ministering to those around us. But if we're going to do that effectively for the Lord, we need to be washed. That is, we need to be spending time in the Word and time in prayer and being cleansed before God. Cleansing our heart, cleansing our hands, cleansing our feet, so to speak, in this whole spiritual picture of being washed before we go into the temple to do the work of the Lord. And so some of you are washing right now. This is your washing. You know, you had worship, you're hearing the Word, you're getting washed, and now you're ready for service of the Lord. You're ready for service of your family. But you need to be doing that, and I need to be doing that every day. Getting in the Word, getting in prayer, being cleansed, so as we enter into the temple, we're ready to serve the Lord. Now, it's interesting, as a side note here, a little bit of history. With the priests at the temple, see, a lot more priests would work at the temple than went inside the actual temple. They worked in the outer temple area. And so you would have a large staff working the temple grounds, but you would only have a small part of that staff, if you want to call it that, that was going into the temple to serve. And that was often determined in advance. Sometimes it was determined at the moment. But what's interesting about that is if you were not cleansed by washing your hands and your feet at that laver before you were called on, you couldn't go into the temple and serve. Note that. In other words, they had this, what they called the priest superintendent. He was kind of like the guy that watched the grounds, so to speak, of the temple mount area. And he would walk around, and if there was a need that came up where the priest had to go into the temple to pray for the people or had to go make a special sacrifice or a special offering or whatever the case might be, whenever that happened, what he would do is he would go look for those that were ready to be used. And if he found someone out there, he'd say, hey, have you washed? Oh, I haven't washed yet. Okay, sorry, stay there. Have you washed? Yes, I'm ready. Get in the temple. And it would have been a great honor to be called on, a great honor to get to go into the temple to serve, especially if you didn't know you were going to get to do that. Maybe some surprise thing came up. But here's the key. Note this. Only those who were washed and ready when the call came to serve were able to serve. Isn't that powerful? You see, the picture's clear here. You don't know when God's going to call on you to serve. You don't know. God may call on you this week. God may call on you today. There may be a conference call. There may be a Zoom meeting or whatever, something on the internet. There may be something God's calling you to do and you're going to be called on. There may be a gathering in the neighborhood of some issue that comes up. And God's going to give you that opportunity to share Him, to lead people to the Lord, to be ready to do ministry in the temple, so to speak. But here's the deal. If you're not washed, if you've not come to the laver and washed your hands and your feet, you're not going to be called on by the Lord to do that. You better be ready. You better be ready. Wash your hands. Wash your feet. And again, that's great counsel for today anyway, isn't it? Wash your hands. Can't wash your hands enough. But again, in the spiritual sense, the key here is be ready so that when you're called on, you have this great honor and you'll be able to walk in that honor. It is a great honor to be used by the Lord. But if you're not ready, God's not going to call on you. So be ready. Don't miss your opportunity. So he says, look, God has done this, not by works of righteousness. There is verse 5. It's not by what we've done that we've been saved. It's what Jesus has done. It's His good works on the cross. It's His blood. That's how we're saved. But again, He set us an example and gave us a picture. Notice this, verse 6, of whom He poured out on us after this, because of this, abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, it's interesting here. Poured out here means like water from heaven, and it means in abundance. It means just no lack. No lack. Because of what Jesus has done for us by His good works on the cross, by His blood, by His sacrifice, He's now made available the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in abundance from heaven. And it's not just like a sprinkling on the head. It's like a dunking. It's like overwhelming. It's like you've jumped in the pool and you just went in over your head and there you are under the water. That's what this is a picture of. And notice He says, here's how it happens. It only happens through Jesus. Which means if you want the power of the Holy Spirit in and upon your life, there's only one way to get it, and that's through Jesus. But again, you have to ask. Lord, fill me. Come upon me. I've washed. I've spent time at the laver, so to speak, time in the Word, time in prayer. I'm washed. I'm ready. I'm ready to be called on by my high priest when he calls on me now, spiritually. But God, I need power. How can I do this without power? Give me your power. What Paul is saying here to Titus is God has given that power. He's done it through the cross. Now He's given the power. We just simply have to ask. He will pour that on us in abundance through Jesus Christ. Notice verse 7, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, here's that word hope coming in. Notice this. What is our hope? That we might be heirs of eternal life. And I want to break this up into two segments. We have the hope of salvation as a believer in the Lord, but not just the hope of salvation. I mean, that would be enough. If all he did was save us, that would be enough. He goes beyond that. He says, not only am I giving you the hope of salvation, I'm making you an heir or heiress of my kingdom. Think about that. We're not only saved, we inherit everything that our God owns. That is amazing to me. I don't think that our mind can even comprehend what this really means, that his children inherit what belongs to him. I don't think there's a way we can grasp it until we're in the kingdom of God. That's the only way we're ever going to see that. But again, that's just like bonus points. That's bonus points. The true hope that we have is eternal life. And it's the biggest and most important part of our inheritance is eternal life. Nothing could be better than that. But notice lastly in this verse, he says, it's the promise of eternal life that gives hope. This is where hope comes in for you. You're thinking about what's happening. You're losing hope, or maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you have hope in the Lord, but you're losing hope that you're going to get your job back, or you're going to go back to work, you know, without months going down the road, or whatever. What's your family going to do? How are you going to pay your mortgage? How are you going to do? All these things pop in our mind. Very normal. But I want you to be encouraged. The Lord knew this. He knew you'd lose your job. He knew you had a mortgage to pay. He knew you needed to eat. He knows all this. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. Do I know exactly how God is going to take care of all of your needs this morning? I do not. But here's what I know. There's a promise. If you seek first the kingdom of God, he promises he'll meet all your needs. It's time now to walk by faith. It's time to take God at his promise. This is not a time to lose heart. This is a time to press in. You know, two things can happen. When fear comes in, you either get paralyzed and you kind of back away and hide, don't know what to do, or you say, you know what, I'm going for it. I remember years ago, someone told me, they said, you know, there's two kinds of personalities out there. There's the type of personality that when fear happens, they freeze. And there's the other type of personality that when fear happens, they get going. And you don't really know which you are until the test comes. Now, here's the thing. I think all of us freeze initially. It's very normal for something to happen. You hear a sound. There's a change in the world environment. We all kind of stop for a minute and go, what just happened? It's very, very normal. But what you need to be praying for and what I need to be praying for is that once we hear the initial thing that causes us to freeze, we think, now, what action should I take? And we need to get going. What action do you need to take? What do you need to do in order to be able to respond properly? And so, again, I think many people right now are gripped with fear and they're paralyzed. As believers, because we don't walk in fear, we need not be paralyzed, and we need to be moving forward so that we not only have that hope, but again, as I said, we're giving it to others. We're telling them how they can walk free, how they can find that hope in the Lord, and with that hope in heaven again, and not be paralyzed. Look, fear, again, as fear paralyzes, a lack of fear sets you free. So if you're paralyzed by fear this morning, cry out to God to remove that and say, God, set me free. And I think that one of the strongest things that can ever happen is, you know, is that when you don't have a fear of death, you are truly a free person. No matter what's happening in life. You know, the Bible talks about how we defeat the enemy. It says we defeat the enemy by our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and that we're not afraid unto death. Think of those three things. Look what God has done in my life. There's my testimony. How did he do that? By the blood of the Lamb, by his sacrifice on the cross. He paid for all my sins. And now the fact that I'm not afraid to die, I'm not looking to die, I'm not wanting to die. And in reality, very few people overall, because of this virus, are going to die, although it's sad that anyone dies. Statistically, the majority of us are going to be fine. But the reality is, if you're not afraid of that, regardless of what happens, there's boldness, there's courage. And we need to be men and women of boldness and courage, not paralyzed, but making a decision. All right, this has happened. I heard the noise, but it's time to move forward. Let's see what God's going to do. I think God has great things in store for the world. God is still working, and God is going to use the church in great ways through this, and God is going to use this whole event in great ways in the world. And I believe that. We're going to see that happen. But notice here he says, so we've been justified by what Jesus has done. We have hope. Look at verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God, note this, should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Again, he points out Jesus' good works for us, which is why we have hope. And then he says, because Jesus did good works, here's what we're to do. We do good works. And we're not doing good works to get saved. You can't do that. We can't earn anything. We do good works because the Lord did, and because it's God's will that we bless others, and because it's a testimony unto the Lord. Listen, the things that you do right now, when you do good works for your neighbors, you know, however God shows you to serve and to minister to those around you, it may not have an immediate result. They may not go, wow, look, you mowed my grass. I want to receive Christ. How do I do this? Now, it might, but it may not. But here's what it will do. It will plant a seed in their heart, and it will be a testimony to them. Followers of Jesus Christ show love. Followers of Jesus Christ care. And followers of Jesus Christ take action. And you know what else I noticed? That follower of Christ was not afraid, and I'm afraid. This is powerful. See, this is an opportunity. What the enemy intends for evil, God intends for good. And while this may be an opportunity for the enemy to put fear in people's hearts and put worry and these type of things, it is a tremendous opportunity for the church to rise up and to shine and to be a witness and to be a testimony and to serve our neighbors and to serve our city, to serve our state, to serve our nation. Again, how do we do that? God will show us. God will show us. There's different ways. Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's financial. Sometimes it's through prayer. I've already had opportunities to pray for people that I normally would not have had an opportunity to pray with. I know that for a fact, since this has happened. So we need to be doing these good works. Paul says it's a faithful saying, and it needs to be, note this, affirmed constantly, which means to affirm evenly on a regular basis, okay? You're to maintain good works and to affirm them on a regular, constant basis. You know, the Bible says don't grow weary of doing good. Why? Because we grow weary of doing good. You know, sometimes we get, you know, we get tired. I've been doing this. Is there any fruit from it? Is this really making an impact? It is making an impact. Don't grow weary in doing good. It's something that's to be done on a regular basis. It's like the good works time release capsule. You know these time release capsules you get? And I don't know how that works, but supposedly it works over 24 hours. And how does this thing release over 24 hours? I don't know how that works. But they say it works, right? Well, this is your Christian good works time release capsule. He's saying, look, don't be a one-time fix. Don't just, you know, be somebody's Advil or Tylenol for that day and take their headache away. Be looking at your life on a regular basis to be time released in good works. Good works. Every phase of your life, good works. Individually and as a fellowship. We need to be looking for how to do good works in every generation, at every time, and to be maintaining them. Careful thought to maintain them is the idea behind this. Looking forward to those works throughout our life. And Paul affirms the positive nature of doing these good works. And again, he ends this section the same way that it began. And it's not just focusing on doing good, but maintaining those good works, as we said, on a regular basis, even with those who may seem unthankful. You know, here's the thing. A lot of times, you know, I've helped people out and served people, and they seem unthankful. Does that mean we shouldn't do it? No, we still do it. I mean, how much did God serve us before we gave our life to the Lord and we were totally unthankful for what he did?
You've been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark has been teaching through the book of Titus. This book clearly lays out the fact that God's incarnation is what makes the gospel so powerful. Jesus came to earth in human form, took on flesh, died for humanity's sins, and rose from the dead. That's remarkable. This is the fundamental belief to stand on, and because of that, you should want to live pure and upright in a way that honors God. No other religion can claim the very words that you just heard. No other so-called God can claim the power and authority that our God accomplished. If you're just beginning to learn what it means to follow Jesus, or if you have any questions about what you've heard today, we'd love to speak with you. You can call us at 865-609-1385. Again, that phone number is 865-609-1385. You can also visit our website, thewaymedia.net, and search for our questions and comments link to connect with us. Want to hear this message again? You can easily download the Way Media app. Come to the Table is a ministry of Calvary Knoxville. And we hope you've been blessed by this time today in the book of Titus. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, would you come join us on a Sunday morning? TheWayMedia.net has the information you need to know about service times and location. We look forward to meeting you. Please join us again next time as Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Titus here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.